ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا بعد. My brothers and sisters, باذنالله تعالى, we are today will be the concluding lecture on the topic of benefiting from the knowledge of Islam, and I intend to talk about what I call my tarbiyah self test, inshallah, and talk about some of the things that we need to check with ourselves. But before that, I remind myself and you about a advice and quote of Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh, who said, the meaning of which is, a person will always interpret everything he hears according to the light that dominates his heart. I want to repeat that. Imam Al-Ghazali said, a person will always interpret everything he or she hears according to the light which dominates his heart. What is this light? The light which should dominate our hearts is the Noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even about the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And then he added and said, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, many are led to hidayah, to guidance by this book, and many are misguided by this book. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many are misguided by the Quran. Even though the Quran announced itself and said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And this is where we understand the tafsir of ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a condition for hidayat, which is taqwa. So the one who does not have taqwa, of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all boundaries, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give hidayat to whoever he wants. But what is being described in the Quran are the basic principles of how Allah made this world, and therefore Allah said hidayat will come to the one who has taqwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yudillu bihi kathira wa ma yudillu bihi illa al-fasiqun. But nobody is misguided except for the one who is rebellious. There are people, lots of people are guided by the Quran, lots of people are misguided by the Quran, but nobody is misguided except those who are rebellious, who are fasiqun, and who are fasiq and fajr. So the condition of guidance and the condition of misguidance has been placed before us. This quote of Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi also explains, for example, what happened with people like the Mu'tazila, people like the Khawarij, people like people like those who deny the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who, despite the fact that they were and are individually pious people, they led themselves astray even to the extent of going out of Islam. The Khawarij, for example, were so pious that in some cases, the Muhaddithun have taken a hadith which is quoted by one of the Khawarij, knowing the person is among the Khawarij. So they say, why is that? Why do you take a hadith from someone who is among the Khawarij? They said, because their mistaken and wrong aqidah. Now think about it. This is the wisdom of the ulama and the a'imma. Their mistaken and wrong aqidah, which is that a person who commits one of the kabair, one of the guna kabira, one of the major sins, will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the aqidah of the Khawarij. So anyone who commits a major sin, lying is a major sin. Yeah, we have got so used to lying that we think this is one of the hasanat. Allah will inshallah reward us for all the lies that we tell. But this is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lying is a major sin. And there are many hadith also to prove this, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person says, I do so many wrong things, tell me, I can only give up one, which one should I give up? And he said, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say, give up zina, give up drinking alcohol and so on and so on. He said, give up telling lies. Just one thing. And that person also felt, okay, he must have felt, okay, this is easy. I mean, you know, give up lying, okay, I mean, all the rest of it is fine. I can continue to do whatever else I am doing. Until the moment came when he was now thinking of doing one of the major sins, and he thought to himself, tomorrow when I meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he said, what did you do? What will I say? Because I said, I will not tell a lie. So I can't very well go to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and say, I was committing zina. He can't do that. So he said, stay away from this thing. I don't want to do zina. And so on and so on. And the person became completely pure because he gave up that one thing, lying. So we think lying is so simple, and you know, we do it all the time. May Allah protect us from this. So the Khawarij, their aqeedah was that Allah will not forgive a major sin. So therefore the Aimmah said, if one of them quotes a hadith, it has to be true, because he will never tell a lie. Because for him, this is something which Allah will never forgive. Of course, our aqidah is different. We say that anyone who makes tawbah sincerely, Allah will forgive him no matter what he has done. among the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as the rights of the people are concerned, as long as he fulfills those rights and he makes recompense, he compensates those people and so forth, then those also will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our aqidah, and this is based on the ayat of the Quran, and there are many ayat. I don't want to go into that just now. So people have even, so my point I'm saying is that from this we understand that, for example, the Khawarij were not immoral people, and they were not people who were indulging in sin. They were actually far more pious than most other people. Yet they are considered to be apostates. They are considered to be outside of Islam. Why? What led them astray? They were reading more Quran, and the first of the ahadith of which talk about the Khawarij, not by this name but by describing, is the man who came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Hunain, and he caught Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam scholar, and he said, "Ya Muhammad Adil," he said, "Oh Muhammad, do justice." He's talking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he says, "Oh Muhammad, do justice," Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So obviously this was highly improper, it was highly disrespectful, and the Sahaba got very upset. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't say anything to him. He said, if I do not do justice, who will do justice? And then there's the whole, why he came and said that and so on. When he left, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I told you not to kill that man because there are more like him. And if you kill them, people will say Muhammad is ordering the killing of his followers, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, these are people who will read more Quran than you. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the likes of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu majma'i. He's talking to the akabir of the Sahaba. He's talking to the closest of his companions, alayhimu salam. And he is saying to them, these are people who will read more Quran than you. These are people who will pray more salah than you. These are people who will fast more than you. But the Quran will not go below their throats. And he said, Iman will enter them like a arrow enters a target and will exit from the other side without any blood on the head of the arrow or the binding of the arrow or the shaft of the arrow. Why did he say that? And he is saying they will read more Quran than you, but it will do them no good. This is the meaning of the Noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will do no good because there is no preparation, there is no tazkiyatun nafs, there is no submission and ubudiyat in the heart. The heart is full of arrogance, the heart is full of themselves and their own desires and so on. The heart is full of shubuhat and shukuk, all kinds of doubts and so on and so forth. The heart is full of me and myself and my arrogance and my ananiyat. How can any guidance come from there? So Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah is saying that whichever light dominates your heart, whatever you hear, you will interpret it according to that light. So if your own light, which obviously is a light of misguidance, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ illa ma rahima rabbi. Yusuf alayhi salam said, verily and truly, my nafs will only misguide me. My nafs will only take me towards sin. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Except the one who has the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on him. Except the one who Allah has mercy on. It is verily, inna nafsa. Verily, it is the nature of the nafs. La ammaratum bisu. Again, la mal ta'atil. Again, the emphasis will take you towards sin. So if the heart is dominated by the nafs, how can hidayat come? We have people today who say, you tell them, spend some time on your tazkiyah. Spend some time on your tazkiyah. Spend some time. Oh, no, Shaykh, but I'm going for Umrah. MashaAllah, very nice. Please go. I'm not getting into any debate of fiqh about the fadail of Umrah compared to the fadail of dhikr or the fadail of tazkiyah. Simple question I want to ask you is this. You're talking to somebody who's blind. Or you're talking to somebody who's got very, very defective eyesight. And you say, please come and get your eyesight corrected. He said, no, but you see, I'm going sightseeing. I'm going to the top of Kilimanjaro. I want to see all the view. I go. Even if you live on the top of Kilimanjaro for the rest of your life, your eyesight is not good, you will never see anything. You are blind. So here is a nafil, which is Umrah. Whereas the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart is fard, because وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created the jinn and the insan for any purpose other than our ibadah. What is ibadah? إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ. Except to recognize us. جَلَّ جَلَلُهُ. You are blind. You want to go make Umrah. Go make Umrah. And who are the people who say this? Who make Umrah like every month? Then ask yourself, you make so many Umrahs, you still do not understand the importance of tazkiyatun nafs. What is the good of this Umrah that you are doing? I am not denying you your sawab. May Allah completely drown you in sawab. But you are still not fulfilling the purpose for which you have been created, because you don't know Allah. You do not recognize Allah. Your eyesight is defective, you are blind. Because your nafs is dominated by your desires. Every morning you go shave your face. You know this is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know this is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What umrah do you want to do? And I can make a long list. I'm not going to make that. Because that's not my purpose. My purpose is you go make your own list. Sit down before you drop dead, which you will and I will one day. Sit down and make a list. This is where I am disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stop disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what Imam Al-Ghazali is saying. He said, you will hear and understand everything according to the light which dominates your heart. You can listen to khutbahs till the day you drop dead. It will not affect you. Or you can listen to one single word, one single line, and it will completely transform you. Why? Because of the light which is dominating your heart. So I remind myself and you, let us focus on that. Let us clean our hearts and ensure that our hearts are dominated by the right kind of light. The light of the noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Not the light of our own ananiyat and our own desires and our own shayateen. Because a day will come, my brothers and sisters. And subhanAllah, this is something which we saw last Jummah. We made dua for Rafi Bhai's wife who passed away here. Very, very sudden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghairi hisab. A day will come when if we have worked on this, we will be the happiest people on the face of the planet. When you will recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you worked and your heart is full of his noor. And if we did not work on it, we will have regret. And that regret is the worst thing that you can ever have on anybody. Because there is no turning back from that. So what is the noor of Allah? The noor of Allah is obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ وُدَلِّ الْمُتَّقِينَ تَقْوَى. What is taqwa? The complete and total commitment never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear, the absolute terror of doing anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not fear of Allah, but fear of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to get this. And please believe me, these empty du'as of mine are no good. The du'a has to be supported by your action. If you do not take action, I can make du'a till the day of judgment. If Allah keeps me alive, nothing will happen. You have to take action. But go back, look in your lives. And I remind myself, I need to do that as well. Count the number of things and strike them out, and don't worry who is displeased and who is not displeased and who will pass sarcastic remarks at you and who will point fingers at you. For God's sake, get a backbone. I mean, really, this is our problem. Too much calcium in the skull and too little in the backbone. So boneheads, you know, can't understand anything, and then they can't stand before anything. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Transfer some calcium from the skull to the backbone. That is good for you. I have a tarbiyah self-test that I am proposing to you. And today, after this khutbah is uploaded, you will get the text of this whole thing. So, you will get the notes for this. First question to ask yourself is, do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more, or do I love myself, my wealth, my position, my society, my friends and associates more? Which do I love more? Do I love Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, or do I love myself and all that is around me more? Which one? This is a question to ask ourselves and to answer for ourselves. And why must we do that? What is the dalil for this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, he's saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, tell them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, if your fathers, and wherever, this is not a gender statement, wherever it says fathers, it means mothers also, wherever it says sons, it means daughters also. If your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, which means if your fathers and mothers, if your sons and daughters, if your brothers and sisters, if your spouses, wives or husbands, your kindred, meaning the rest of your family, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce, the business in which you fear a decline, the dwellings, the houses in which you delight, you build a nice house and you take a lot of pleasure looking at your house. If these are dearer to you than Allah and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in striving hard and fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his decision of adab. فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Go and wait for the punishment of Allah. And Allah does not guide the people who are fasiqoon, who are rebellious and who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please ask yourself one simple question. We are coming into Ramadan. Ask yourself your question. Is love for your parents haram? How can it be haram when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized and re-emphasized that so many times in the Quran? Love your parents, respect your parents, be kind to them and so on and so on. How many will have? Is loving your children haram? Is loving your family haram? is indulging in halal business, is it haram? Because one of the people who will get the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there is no shade is a person, is a businessman who has indulged, who has done business in a halal way. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promising his punishment? Promising his punishment for people who love their parents, who love their children and so on and so on. All of which in any case is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Is this a contradiction in the ayah? What is Allah saying? Did Allah say loving your parents is haram? No. He says loving your parents more than loving Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Loving your children more than loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Loving your wealth more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah is saying also that it is not simply enough to say I am ashiq rasul, I am ashiq ilahi. Not enough to say that. Allah says and also show this by your actions. أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Show this love for Allah and love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by acting on it, by making, by striving, by making effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That effort begins on your body. The effect begins, that effort begins in your home. That effort begins with your family. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if you don't want to do that, go away. Allah does not need you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not need you. And not just go away, go and wait for the azab of Allah. So the first question to ask ourselves in Tazkiyatun Nafs is, do I love Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more or do I love myself more? Because my brothers and sisters, believe me, there is only one thing which is standing between you and me and Jannah, and that is ourselves. As they say, the famous quote, I met the enemy, he is me. That is the reality. You want to know who is the enemy? Go look in the mirror. Who is your worst enemy? Go look in the mirror. You will not see somebody with two horns and a tail. You will see yourself. So what must we do? If we claim, if we accept that we do not love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we love ourselves, then obviously time to do, make tawbah. And start right now because you don't know whether you're going to go home tonight. So make sure that you make tawbah right now. And then bring about change in your lives. And if you feel that no, I love Allah more and I love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more, then find the data in your lives to support that. Because just claims which are not backed by data have no value. Claim has to be backed by data. So find the data in your lives and think about that and say and remind yourself that what is not visible in our lives does not exist. If I say I am obedient to Allah, I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else, then the love of Allah is expressed by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I say I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than anyone else, then that love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is expressed by obedience to his sunnah. If I don't find these two things in my life, then my claim is false. I am lying to myself. And then the rest of it you know. Second point. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, second question to ask yourself, is about our own lives and say, do I want to live to establish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law on the face of the earth? Or do I want to really live my life the way I like and follow whatever is suitable to it in Islam and leave whatever is not suitable in Islam or try to change what is not suitable to my lifestyle? Lifestyle choice is a wonderful thing. Believe me. I'm a great believer in lifestyle choice. And I think that those choices must be made intelligently and very consciously. Because one of the fallacies that we live with is that we are free to choose. I completely agree with that. Even though I call it a fallacy, and I'll tell you why I'm calling it a fallacy. We are absolutely free to choose. But we must understand that every choice comes with a price tag. You're free to choose. but then you pay the price. So when you say, I am free to choose, what are you really saying? You are saying, I am free to choose the consequences of my choice. It's not a choice alone. You are free to choose the consequences of your choice. So think very, very carefully about the consequences of whichever choices you are making, because that is what you are actually buying. You are not buying that choice, you are buying those consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of the biggest choice, which is Himself Jalla Jalalu. In Surah Al-Kahf, which you must have read today, and if you didn't read it, go back home and read it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Say to them that the truth, the haq is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wishes to accept this, let him accept it. Whoever wishes to reject it, let him reject it. Completely open about the biggest choice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what is the price of rejection. Read the ayat. So the question to ask ourselves is this. Because what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this issue of picking and choosing? Selective obedience is disobedience. Because you are selecting. There are three things which Allah said do. You say, no, I will do number one. And number two, I don't like, I won't do that. And number three, well, I'll do half of it. So are you obeying or are you disobeying? You're disobeying. But Allah did not give you that choice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Udkhulu fi silmi kafatan. Enter into Islam fully and completely. Allah did not say sit on the edge of the swimming pool and dangle your toes in the water. No. Allah said, jump inside completely. Dive. About those who pick and choose, what did Allah say? Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ. The jaza for those who do this, Allah is saying, are you among those who take something from the kitab of Allah and leave out the rest of it? You take whatever you like and you leave out what you don't like. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do you believe in a part of the scripture, a part of the book, and reject the rest? Then what is the recompense, what is the reward of those who do so among you, except disgrace in the life of this world, and on the day of resurrection, they will be consigned to the most grievous torment. Who is this ayat for? Is this ayat, and Allah said, Allah is not aware of what you do. Ask yourself, somebody who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala totally, somebody say an atheist for example, or somebody who is not a Muslim, how can anyone say that you are taking something from the book and you are leaving out the rest? Is it possible? He is not taking anything from the book. He's trashed everything. He has removed and rejected everything. Who is being described here when you are saying you are taking something and leaving out something? The Muslims. Yesterday I met somebody. I was at a lecture at the Murray Chennaradi Institute. I was giving a lecture there. And before the lecture, I met one of my friends, and moment you meet somebody, immediately they say, no, see all that is happening in this country and that country and so on. And Muslims are in so much trouble and so on and so forth. And we want to have these meetings to decide what is to be done. Will you come? I said, no. So first and foremost, I will not come. Then he said, we have to do something. When will the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? I said, it will not come. Listen very carefully. I said, it will not come.
भाई साहब आप वही से ही टेल मी आप कैसा बोलते, बोला सीरिया में आ रही, बर्मा में आ रही, फलस्तीन में आ रही, यू आर सेइंग यू नो हेल्प ऑफ अल्लाह, व्हाई इज इट, व्हाई यू सेइंग इट वोंट कम, आई सेड हैज इट कम इन सीरिया, इज इट कमिंग फॉर द रोहिंगास इन बर्मा, इज इट कमिंग फॉर इन फलस्तीन, सो व्हाई डू यू थिंक यू आर स्पेशल बिकॉज यू आर हैदराबादी, हेल्प ऑफ अल्लाह विल कम टू यू बिकॉज यू हैव चार मीनार. Help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conditional. It is conditional. Inna Allaha ma'al ladheena taqaw wal ladheena hum muhsinun. Verily Allah is with, the help of Allah is with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa and those who do ihsan. Inna Allaha ma'al ladheena taqaw وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. I said, please go look in the mirror. Which help of Allah? And that's what Allah is saying in this kitab, in this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Pick and choose, no problem. Lifestyle choice. Make your pick. Do whatever choices you are doing. But what will happen? خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Please understand, Allah is talking about hardship in this life. Hardship in this life. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَّدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Not some light punishment. No. On the day of judgment, they will be sent to the most grievous of punishments. Now, brothers and sisters, I am quoting for you the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not telling you something from my mind. I am not giving you my opinion. I am quoting for you the kitab of Allah. Go look it up. Point number three. So, four tests of self, of our own tazkiyah and tarbiyah. Point number three. Am I ready to enter Islam fully and completely, or am I among those who want to take what suits them and leave the rest? Are we willing to establish the law of Allah on the earth, or will we run our own games? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا خَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah An-Nisa, but no, by your Rabb. Look at these ayat. I don't know how one can read these ayat and understand them and still remain standing. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's khudrat. Allah is taking an oath by himself and he's saying, no, by your Rabb. They have no faith. They can have no faith. Who is he talking about? The Muslims. They can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad, the judge in all disputes between them and find inside themselves, in their hearts, no resistance against your decisions. And they accept those decisions with full submission. My brothers and sisters, you know and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold us accountable for what is in our hearts. Allah does not hold us accountable for our thoughts and desires unless we speak them or unless we do them. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking against his own rule. And he is saying that I will not hold you accountable for your desires and your thoughts, except when those are against the orders of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you have a desire and if you have a thought and if you have any resistance in your heart, Allah is not saying, fi anfusim, inside them, Allah is not saying that they have spoken about this, they are talking about this. No, he is saying, even if you feel in your heart resistance to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered, then Allah is saying, by my jalal, you are not a Muslim. Again, I am quoting Quran for you. So, three tests. And number four, am I proud of being a Muslim, confident in myself, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with love as a standard bearer of Islam, Or am I among those who laugh at the ways of Muslims and consider the ways of others superior to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I among those who make fun of the orders of Allah and who make fun of and reject the blessed sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it is not fashionable in today's world? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu says about such people who laugh at the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who laugh at the ways of Islam, who consider the ways of Islam and the sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being backward, signs of backwardness, who are apologetic, who are not confident of themselves and not confident of Islam and not confident of the ways of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who consider the ways and cultures of others to be superior to that of Islam. And believe me, it's not a matter of saying, no, I never said that. Your life says it. Your every action says it. Nahi bolta phir dobara ho baat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ أَن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَحَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ. Allah says, and when they see you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they treat you as a mockery. They make fun of you. And they say, is this the one whom Allah sent as a messenger? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَحْزِيُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they treat you as a joke. They treat you, they make mockery of you, they make fun of you. And when they are asked, what is it? Are you making fun of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They say, no. They said, if you ask them, they say, no. We were only joking. We were only talking idly. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is given this order, hukum. And he says, say to them, was it Allah? Were you joking and laughing at Allah? And at His ayat? And His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is this what you are doing? And what is the result of this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نُعَذِّبْ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. He says, make no excuse. You have disbelieved after you had believed. You have exited Islam after you had entered Islam. You have become murtad, you have become apostate after you had accepted Islam. And then Allah says, we may pardon some of you and we will punish others because they are mujrimeen and criminals. My brothers and sisters, there are many other references in the text which I am not reading out and I am not saying now because I think the point is made. You will get this whole lecture and all the text and so on. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from ourselves, because we are the biggest fitna and we are the biggest enemies of ourselves. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, we are living through some very, very difficult times. Right? I don't think you need me. I certainly hope you don't need me to tell you that. We are living in these times because you are also living in the same times. And I am living in the same times. Believe me, we cannot do without the help of Allah. We cannot do without the help of Allah. You want to try and see if you can do without the help of Allah? Most welcome. Please go ahead. We cannot do without the help of Allah. And the help of Allah will not come unless we fulfill the conditions for it. The help of Allah will not come until we fulfill the conditions for it. That is the simplest choice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to open our hearts and minds to Him. To fill your hearts with His noor, to open your eyes, love, let the scales drop from the eyes, look at reality and understand. Make your nafs subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise that nafs will take the one who is subservient to it, that nafs will take them into Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our sins and to cover us up with His mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannah, to grant us Ramadan al-Kareem with good health and Iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our du'as and to accept our tawbah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and keep us away from everything
which displeases him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.